This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Monday, the 10th of May, a very short work week. My name is Audrey Raj, and joining me in the studio is...
Frida Liu. Yay, short week.
Short week indeed. On the show today, we're going to be talking about, well, the...
Something that's very, very emotional, you know, when it comes to Malaysians, right? Around this topic, which is around food.
Food, of course. We have a bit of a shutdown theme on our show today. We're going to be talking about to dine in or not to dine in during MCO 3.0. We also have a story about how the retail sector has warned of a devastating decline, you know, following the hide lists and forced closures. And we're going to end the show with a story about the health ministry recommending for an extended school break. So schools may continue to be closed as well in the coming weeks. All that plus, also on the show today, a bit of Aretha Franklin. We've got The Killers and Duran Duran. So stay tuned for that. But of course, our main story of the day is about whether we should be allowed to dine in or not during MCO 3.0. And we are asking you this question.
Would you dine in if it was allowed during MCO 3.0, why or why not? The options on Twitter is yes with proper SOP, yes outdoors open air, no too risky, or no I prefer tapao / takeaway.
Yeah. Over on Instagram is just a yes and no option for you over there. Get in touch with us and tell us what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. Now we're talking about this because, you know, these recurring MCOs, they've not been kind to our local F&B businesses. You know, with shifting SOPs and guidelines, restaurants and outlets have had to stay on their toes for nearly a year now. You know, and with MCO 3.0 and the announcement to close for dine-ins, yet again, F&B players are pleading with the government now to reconsider their stance as it could cause irreparable damage to their business. Now, more than 80 chefs, owners and general managers have launched a petition calling for the reopening of dining in restaurants in an open letter to our PM, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, Senior Ministers for Security, Ismail Sabri Yaakob, and Health Director General, Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah. And they wrote, unlike hawker stalls, fast food restaurants and other similar outlets, our restaurants are not suited to the delivery takeaway model. During the past two MCOs, our sales have dropped by up to 90% and we incurred tremendous losses. Some of us have had to implement staff pay cuts, incur debt, and may have to close our restaurants if the situation does not improve.
So according to them, with strict adherence to SOPs, customers being allowed to dine in have proven to have a relatively low risk of contributing to the spread of COVID-19, citing data collected between February 22nd and April 2nd, whereby of the 314 new clusters identified, only 0.96% came from restaurants. So that's less than 1%.
Less than 1%, yeah.
Compared to 38.54% from factories and 15.29% from the community, they said allowing restaurants to operate had not proven to have a large impact on viral transmission. They also admitted that there are, of course, some recalcitrant restaurants or bars who flout the SOPs, but the whole industry should not be punished because of the failure of a few.
True. Now, six districts in Selangor went under MCO on the 6th of May, and KL and parts of Johor, Terengganu and Perak began their MCO restrictions the day after. Eateries in these areas are allowed to continue operating, but they are, of course, limited to delivery and pickup services only. Which begs the question, if you were allowed to dine in during this time, at a time where, you know, our cases are at like 4,005, you know, touching 5,000, and we've been warned either via WhatsApp messages or, you know, we've heard all these rumors about how the cases are only going to spike further in the coming weeks. You know, this is of course unverified, but this is the talk, you know, that cases are only increasing. Would you dine in during this time? Frida, are you comfortable?
I am.
Yeah?
I am. Okay, so I mean, like I said, you know, you have to make sure that they follow SOPs, and then you look at the risk factors. You look at the restaurant and you see there's too many people, then don't turn up, right? And make a complaint about these sort of places, right? But if they are practicing SOPs and all that, fine. I think where people are getting annoyed is because of the, you know, like how come certain places...
The comparisons.
The comparisons, right? Because I think we now have stopped with the bazaars, right? The Ramadan bazaars. But for longest time, you know, it was like, this is allowed and this is not allowed. And I can understand with restaurant operators as well, during the Chinese New Year period, in this, the biggest business, right, the gatherings, right, the reunion dinners, and that didn't happen. Then the last 2 days, then they finally allowed, right, the running of a restaurant, getting the supplies, right? Mm. First of all, you've ordered, and then are you allowed to return? You're not allowed to return. And now I want my orders. And then, so it's very disruptive behind the scenes. And I get it. I would, right, despite whatever's going on, but I have to practice my own, you know, if I feel uncomfortable, then take away, right? And
I think you brought up a really good point there, Frida. Like, because this announcement came just days before the Mother's Day weekend. Mm. And you can imagine some restaurants would have ordered in advance, ordered in bulk to prepare for people coming in with their moms to celebrate Mother's Day, right? And what happens to all of that when they've been told that they can't serve dine-ins anymore, right? What happens to all that stock and perishables? And also, you have to think about the restaurants, the F&B outlets that don't or can't cater to delivery or takeaway. For, you know, like if you think of a fine dining restaurant, what do you do then? You know, because you just, the commute is just not going to work. It's just not...
It just doesn't work in a takeaway situation. So, yeah. I mean, I, and you know, if you go to a fine dining, the spacing is always kind of wide anyway, right? Mm. So you make that decision as well. So you look at the place, you don't like it, and then there's a, you know, make sure that they're practicing, they're not practicing it, that there should be a place that you can complain that they're not practicing SOPs.
Yeah. But I do understand from the other point of view, as a consumer as well, I can understand why the government would want to do something like this. Yeah. Just because you limit the amount of people who are out there on the roads at these eateries and just try and limit the contact and try and get everyone to just stay at home until we can kind of break the chain of infection, right? Mm. But yeah, tell us what you think. Would you dine in if it was allowed during MCO 3.0? Why or why not as well? Get in touch with us. You can send us your messages via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we'll speak to an F&B owner and ask him some tough questions about the thought process on what's going on behind the scenes at a restaurant with these new SOPs for MCO 3.0. All that and more coming up on Enterprise Biz Bites. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about this.
Would you dine in if it was allowed during MCO 3.0? Let's look at the poll results so far. Yes, with proper SOP, 38.1%. Yes, outdoors, open air at 19.2%. No, to risky at 24.4%. And no, I prefer to tap out or take away at 18.3%.
Over on Instagram, we have 55% who say yes, 45% who say no. And you have about 44 minutes to chime in. We have a whole bunch of messages to get to, but we have on the line with us right now, waiting very patiently, Renyi Chin, the co-founder of My Burger Lab. And we thought we'd get his thoughts on what it's like to be an F&B owner, F&B outlet owner at this time. And, you know, what these new SOPs of not being allowed to take in dine-in customers, you know, what that does to your business. Renyi, thank you for staying on the line. Now, first things first, what are some of the biggest challenges of switching between dine-in to non-dine-in workflows, you know, because of these recurring MCOs?
So now we are into our third MCO. Honestly, we are quite used to the change in flow. And what obviously is to be expected is that delivery orders would be significantly higher, or majority of what we are doing. So we generally order a lot more canned drinks, for example. And of course, we bump up our orders for takeaway packaging. Other than that, you know, we used to barricade ourselves up, not allowing people to come in to make orders where they would have to place their orders outside out of fear of the virus. But we also know that currently there is no proof of customer to staff infection, especially when SOP is in place. So we do welcome our customers to come into our store, take their time to order, and then even sit down and wait for their orders to be ready. Last time, unfortunately, we used to keep people outside the store, even in the hot sun, which wasn't, you know, in terms of service, wasn't a great move. But that was out of fear of, you know, infection.
Right. Renyi, are there any known clusters arising from F&B outlets? Don't you think it's, you know, safer to stop dine-ins with nearly 5,000 new cases daily?
From my understanding, there hasn't been big clusters in the F&B scene in the last couple of months. I think in the earlier days there were, especially for workers that are staying together in dorms provided by the employers. A lot of us have learned from that, and we do keep our staff isolated, and of course, you know, making sure that they don't travel around to unknown locations and hang out with other people. And over the last few months, again, it has not been proven that there has been any customer to staff transmission or even staff to customer transmission. If there are any clusters, it will be customer to customers where they come in big groups and do not observe SOP, and that's where they will get in trouble. So we have heard of those stories, but those are rare and few, because there are restaurants and bars, especially in the drinking places, where SOP is not observed, and that's where people, you know, tend to be a little bit closer than they should have, and that's how the virus gets transmitted.
Right. So, Renyi, the timing of this MCO meant that you'll miss dining in during Mother's Day and, of course, Raya this week, right? What would sales have been like during these times if dine-ins were allowed?
Actually, for Mother's Day, it doesn't affect us too much. In fact, every Mother's Day, our marketing campaign says, you know what, don't bring your mom to a burger joint. She deserves better. And then we'll recommend a few of our favorite restaurants,
right,
to make reservations for. So that doesn't hurt us too much. But as for Raya, we definitely do expect a drop in sales, because usually for Raya, there would be a bump when everyone comes out in a festive mood and celebrate together with their friends. And we do have a special Raya burger that is coming out to celebrate the festivities. So given the current situation, we do expect sales to drop by about 40%. And, you know, on top of that, we have to keep in mind that all deliveries, we do have a percentage that we share with our delivery partners. So in terms of profitability, it will be a significant drop.
Right. I know delivery partners have also expressed a lack of riders recently, and it might dip even more during Raya. So are you doing anything to tackle this issue internally?
So this is definitely one of those situations where, you know, you can't change what you can't change, right? So every year we do know that during the Raya season, all our Muslim friends will be taking a break and spending time with the family. So naturally, the supply for riders will significantly drop. So one of the things that we would do is obviously encourage our customers to come to our store, pre-order ahead, and collect their food so that they don't have to wait too long.
Mm.
Apart from that, one of the things that we have also noticed in this current past weeks is that it's been raining very heavily during the evening, and that also affects the availability of riders to deliver food. You know, you just gotta roll with the punches, right? And that is why, you know, we feel that when we are not allowed for dining in this current situation, it is quite dire for a lot of restaurants, because after three MCO, with various where in various timeline we had to close for dine-in, a lot of us actually do not make money.
Right. Final question. There's a petition going around to allow dine-ins for restaurants. So what are the channels to escalate grievances to government, and how effective are they?
Yeah, I feel that the people have the power to change things, and, you know, a petition is a good way to raise our concern and, you know, have our grievances be noticed. As for the channels to convey our frustrations to, honestly, I'm not too sure, you know, who we can approach when it comes to matters like this. And that's why, you know, I was in support of the petition to call for a minimum of dine-in for 2 pax in restaurants. That in itself allows a lifeline for a lot of us. So yeah, I just hope that, you know, with the public picking up on this matter and giving support to the restaurants that they love in regards to allowing for dine-in, a minimum of 2 pax, the government would hear our pleas and actually, you know, come to their senses and support us in this request.
Right. Thanks for that, Renyi. That was Renyi Chin, co-founder of My Burger Lab. Mm. Now, two packs,
a lifeline.
Yeah, 2 packs. And also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was Jennifer Ong from Hapa who was on the morning run this morning. And she mentioned, you know, 2 packs per table. And also, if, you know, 1 meter social distancing is not enough, then, you know, 1.5, 2 meters even, but just allow restaurants to accept dine-ins because, you know, like we've mentioned on the show so many times, delivery partners take a bit of a chunk of your fee and the bill. And, you know, if you want all of the money that you pay for your food to go to the restaurant itself, then, you know, dine-in is and takeaway is the only option, right?
Right.
We have a whole bunch of messages to get through. Frida,
I'll just
fire
go through
them
over WhatsApp, right? So FT here says, yes, I would dine in with SOP. Maybe 2 per table, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. We've got here from Karen. She says, it's a matter of survival these days. Why take any risk for now? We can enjoy our meals with nice ambience and service later. Restaurants should change to survival mode. I think they're already struggling mode.
Yes.
We've got one here from Aaron Raj. She says, I will go to only those shops that follows SOP. And one here from MZ. She says, I believe the problem is lack of enforcement officers to check errant operators. Funny, considering the size of a cabinet and civil service. Right. It says, I just tap out.
Okay. We have a bunch of messages to get to on Instagram as well. I'm just going to read a few here. This is from Dini Nadzri, who says, yes, because despite the pandemic, I want to support local businesses and keep them afloat. We've got Jolin Lim, who says, sometimes you are out doing something halfway. You can't just pack home to eat and come out again. Well, I mean, you don't have a place to actually makan, right? We have Xinying, who says, been to too many restaurants during pre-MCO 3.0 that I hoped would abide to SOPs but failed. Mm. Yeah, so you have some restaurants that are not following. Constantino says, I prefer food to be served fresh. And one last one here from A. Dampling, who says, only if dine-in with family, not with friends or co-workers. But, you know, how do you actually discern if someone is coming with their family or with their co-workers and friends, right? If it's actually a social gathering or if it's just a family going out to makan, you know, how do you expect restaurants to kind of control that, right?
So I think like the one thing again with the enforcement and a hotline if somebody is not practicing, I mean the statistics is that it's less than 1%, right?
Yeah.
And you also just, you know, take caution. If you don't feel comfortable, I guess you just order from home, you know, do have that option. I mean, I don't really as much as I used to anyway, just occasionally that I will go out, right? When it was not that, I don't go out as often and I do tap out more. But, you know, I'll go to places which I feel, okay, should be all right, should be safe, right?
Yeah. So we are asking you if you would dine in if it was allowed during MCO 3.0. Why or why not? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we're going to be talking about mall closures and how retailers are being affected by that. All that and more after The Killers with Mr. Brightside. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.